NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio, wie gesagt, in der zweiten Stunde ist die Band Desperate Journalist aus London. Joe und Rob von der Band sind bei mir und sie kommen gleich zu Wort. Erstmal Musik von ihrem Debütalbum Desperate Journalist. Hier ist jetzt Control. Das war Control von Desperate Journalist und sie sind bei mir im Studio. Joe and Rob from the band. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Glad you can make it. Not in too much of a daze.
A little bit worse for wear, but we'll cope.
So did you have a good night last night then?
Yeah, it was great, thanks, yeah. Yeah. Stayed out a bit later than we intended.
Right. Yeah. And you had a good gig, because I was there and I can bear witness to that.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It was really, really full. People seemed to really enjoy it, so yeah, it was great. It was sold out, I think, so.
Excellent. That's not bad, is it? First time in Hamburg and then sold out?
No, exactly. Very pleasantly surprised.
Good. Yeah. Sie haben gerade gestern im Grünjäger gespielt und es war ausverkauft, erfreulicherweise. Und Sie haben eine sehr schöne Zeit gehabt, ein schönes Konzert, sind ein bisschen spät ins Bett gegangen und sind deshalb heute ein bisschen müde, aber das werden Sie schon überstehen, meinen Sie. Und es ist natürlich ein sehr guter Einstieg für die Band, das erste Mal in Hamburg und gleich ein ausverkauftes Konzert. So, this album is, we can still treat it as being a new album because you're touring it here for the first time, but actually it did appear on the market at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. Does it seem like old hat to you now? Does it still seem like playing a new album, playing your brand new material? Does it seem like, well, this is a stuff which has been tried and tested now?
I think for me, it's like it feels very old hat until the actual gig that you're playing. So when you're playing it, it's absolutely fine. But the sort of the thought of playing it, it feels like it's old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess particularly us, because we were living with it for quite a long time before it was even released. So gigging a lot of it, and particularly with debut albums, are often sort of a collection of songs that you've had for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it does feel a little bit sort of old for us to play. But once you're actually on stage playing it, that sort of vanishes. So it's kind of fine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're also working on a lot of new stuff at the moment, so that sort of pushes it further back in our minds. But playing it live is always much more exciting than the concept of playing it live.
Es wird als ein Debütalbum noch behandelt, weil Sie das erste Mal auf Tour jetzt damit unterwegs sind hier in Deutschland. Aber in Wirklichkeit erschien das Album Anfang letzten Jahres. Da habe ich das schon im Januar letztes Jahr in meiner Sendung gespielt. Und Sie meinen auch beide, es kommt sich so vor, als ob die Songs schon ziemlich alt sind. Weil auch bevor das Album veröffentlicht wurde, dann war das tatsächlich so, dass die Songs ein paar Jahre vorher entstanden sind und sie leben mit diesen Songs schon seit Jahren eigentlich. Es hat wirklich gedauert, bis das Album veröffentlicht wurde. Und sie schreiben neue Musik sehr fleißig momentan. Und deshalb kommt es einem so vor, als ob diese Songs noch älter sind. Andererseits meinen sie, wenn sie es live spielen, dann kriegt es wieder so ein ganz frisches, neues Feeling und Gefühl. Und dann wirken die Songs wirklich sehr lebendig und gar nicht so alt. And I think it's the actual live dimension to what you do, it was important for me to see you play last night, and it was, I assumed it was going to be, that you have that kind of edge, that all-important edge, which I think makes a band somewhat above average. And I don't know, is that just innate in you? I suppose, did you just, when you actually met, did that just seem to click? Were you aware of that? Or did you become aware of it at a later date? Or
I think we're all kind of quite intense about the band in different ways. I think that comes across. I don't know if we initially sort of
I think like
realized that.
Generally, so particularly I'd say Joe and I are slightly sort of anxious, edgy people anyway,
slightly.
I suppose. and so I think that comes across in the music and therefore comes across in the performance. But I kind of think just the nature of some of the songs, you couldn't really, it'd be difficult to play them and sort of look bored because they're all sort of so energetic and intense. It's sort of like if you don't go with it and sort of perform them as they are, then you're not really doing anything and it's sort of why bother?
Yeah, it's a lot of emotion involved, and I think to do it in a lackadaisical or sort of laid-back way would be dishonest, so.
Ich habe die Band gestern live gesehen, wie gesagt, und ich war nicht überrascht, dass die Band so intensiv rüberkam. Sie haben schon einen gewissen Biss und das haben sie auch bestätigt. Sie meinen, dass sie ziemlich so intensive Menschen sind. Sie nehmen die Band sehr ernst. Und sie sind auch ein bisschen ängstliche Typen. Also die sind eigentlich ein bisschen unentspannt vom Naturell. Und das ist natürlich bemerkbar dann, wenn sie auf der Bühne stehen. Und sie sagen, dass die Songs sehr voller, also Energie sind, sehr energiegeladen sind. Und es wäre dann seltsam, wenn sie dann einfach da mit gelangweilten Gesichtsausdruck stehen würden. Es würde gar nicht passen. Es ist eine Art von Musik. Es ist einfach sehr gefühlsbetonte Musik. Und das kommt einfach rüber. Und deshalb, ja, sie wundern sich eigentlich selber nicht, dass sie dann irgendwie so extrem leidenschaftlich und intensiv rüberkommen. So, und jetzt hören wir wieder ein Stück von dem Debütalbum Desperate Journalist und wir hören jetzt Heartbeat. Heartbeats von Desperate Journalist von ihrem Debütalbum. Das Album heißt Desperate Journalist. Bei mir im Studio sind Joe und Rob von der Band. And, I mean, how long have you been together now? 3 years? 4 years?
4 years.
Just about. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember. Yeah.
Oh, and that makes you giggle because you didn't expect it to be 4 years.
Yeah,
you expected,
exactly.
You thought it was going to be like 1 year or so.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, the common era.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel like as long. It doesn't feel like we've been together as long as we have, really. Mm. But I suppose, I mean, we've done quite a lot in that sort of small space of time. And for, I think, for the, probably the first 6 months to a year, we didn't really do anything but sort of rehearse and mess around. We barely played a gig or anything like that. We were just sort of finding our own feet together as a band more than anything else.
Yeah.
And why did you think it wouldn't last this long then? Or...
Oh, no, it wasn't that it wouldn't last. It's it just seems odd that it's such a longer period of time.
I think it's also, we didn't really start with any specific intentions, so we didn't start even with an idea of what music we'd make. We just sort of started playing together, ended up recording the first EP, and it sort of was, we were like, oh, that's good, it's now released. And then it just sort of kept on happening sort of bit by bit, as opposed to thinking about anything long term. So it's sort of like just being constant short-termism.
Yeah, there's no master plan or anything. It's just working through some feelings constantly.
Right.
Still got them, so.
It's just basically therapy, just full-time therapy.
In a way.
Ja, sie wundern sich ein bisschen, dass sie schon so lange zusammen sind, seit 4 Jahren. Sie können sich gar nicht vorstellen, dass die Zeit so schnell vergangen ist. Das erste Jahr haben sie nicht viel gemacht, sie haben einfach nur zusammen geübt, in einem Übungsraum. Dann irgendwann kam die erste EP und dann irgendwann kam das Debütalbum. Aber es gibt keinen großen Plan. Also sie haben nicht wirklich alles im Griff. Sie meinen, es ist im Prinzip so eine Art permanente Art, um sich selbst zu therapieren, also Gefühle zu verarbeiten. Das ist eigentlich so der Sendeübung bei dieser Band. I do think by the standards of a debut album, though, that it sounds very accomplished. It's a very big sound for a young band just starting off. You know what I mean? It almost sounds like a third album or something. It sounds like an album after people have found their feet, and it's like the second step down the line. But in fact, it's the first step. So, but is that because you were practicing so much beforehand before you actually dared to release anything, or?
I think it's more about sort of how we put the songs together and what we wanted it to be. I mean, I think we kind of felt there was no point just putting out a sort of scattergun, scatty album that wasn't really achieving anything. And we were quite clear you can only put out a debut album once. So for us, and whilst I think we're sort of past the age where bands like us release debut album, it goes massive, we wanted to release something we could be really very proud of. Mm-hmm. We also had sort of complete control because we essentially recorded it ourselves and mixed it ourselves. Joe did the artwork and all of that. So it was kind of a very short, intense period where sort of we were just doing that and kind of completely absorbed within it. Mm-hmm. And so I guess some of that came across, and I think all of us were just so intensely just in that thing for that period of time that kind of felt like we couldn't really have come out with much else.
Yeah, it's born out of obsession and perfectionism, so we wouldn't have let it come out in any less accomplished a way than it absolutely could.
Ich meinte, dass das Album für die Verhältnisse einer Debütplatte wirklich sehr reif klingt und sehr vollendet eigentlich. Also nicht unbedingt wie das Werk einer ganz jungen Band, die gerade ihren ersten Schritte macht. Und das haben sie auch bestätigt, dass es vielleicht ein bisschen ungewöhnlich ist. Aber das lag auch daran, dass sie solche Perfektionisten sind. Es war ganz wichtig für sie, also dass es was Besonderes wird. Und sie wussten, dass man nur einmal im Leben ein Debütalbum machen kann. Und sie wussten auch, dass die Zeit eigentlich vorbei sind, dass man irgendwie total erfolgreich wird mit dem ersten Album. Und sie haben sich gar keine Gedanken gemacht über die kommerziellen Aussichten. Sie haben sich wirklich nur darauf konzentriert, also wirklich was ganz Besonderes auf die Reihe zu bekommen. Das waren sehr kurz, aber intensive Zeit. Und sie waren wirklich besessen davon, dass es was ganz Perfektes und ganz was Besonderes werden sollte. So, we're going to hear another track from now to prove how perfect it is. what would you like to hear then?
I would choose Distance.
Distance. That's a nice choice, which also proves the variety on it as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, wir hören jetzt ein anderes Stück von dem Debütalbum von Desperate Journalist, Distance, ein relativ ruhiges Stück für ihre Verhältnisse und ja, beweist eben die Bandbreite der Band. Hier ist jetzt Distance von Desperate Journalist. So, das war Distance von Desperate Journalist und Joe und Rob von der Band sind bei mir in Studio. I think talking about this album, and it applies to the EP as well, of course, we mustn't forget that, is that I think there's a clarity to the sound. It sounds kind of uncluttered to me. And I think, I mean, especially having to listen to so much music day in, day out, I found it refreshing to listen to something which is not going to stress me out too much. Where it's something, you know, to me, where you can actually be pleased about the sounds. Ah, oh, you know, it sounds like a breath of fresh air. But I mean, was that a conscious stance, do you think?
Yeah.
I think, like, so the whole idea, particularly with the first album, perhaps a bit less with the EP, was pretty much record it live. I mean, there are, like, overdubs and things on there, but the idea was basically this is band in room, recorded with a few sort of extra flashy bits to make it sound a bit nicer, but basically that's just us essentially in a room was the original plan. And I think it was because it felt a little bit dishonest to me, particularly for a small band doing a debut album, to release something with all these bells and whistles and things flashing around your ears and stuff, when it's actually you haven't quite proved that you can be a band yet. And so I think for me, at least, the album was intended to go, this is what we sound like, we're a band, and this is sort of the basic template of us.
But there will be bells and whistles on the next album, though.
There might be a few more, but probably not as much as many people.
We're not really a bells and whistles sort of band.
No.
Yeah.
There's not enough room.
Exactly. The towering emotions. It's too big.
Ja, das Debütalbum hat eine gewisse Transparenz, finde ich. Also es hat eine Klarheit und wirkt irgendwie so unkompliziert auf irgendeine Weise. Es ist einfach ein ganz klares, unmittelbares Statement. Und das haben sie auch bestätigt. Er meinte auch, Rob, dass er hat gedacht, es wäre unehrlich, wenn die Band ein Album gemacht hätte mit so einem üppigen Sound, mit irgendwie überflüssigen Arrangements. Er meinte, man musste erstmal beweisen, dass sie überhaupt als Band richtig funktionieren kann und dass sie mussten einfach zeigen, was sie drauf haben, auf ganz schlichte, ehrliche und bodenständige Art und Weise. Und sie meinte, ja, vielleicht kommen die Effekte mehr, also auf dem nächsten Album, aber Joe meinte, sie weiß nicht, ob das hinhaut, weil sie müssen natürlich dann dafür sorgen, dass ihre nackten Emotionen also dann effektiv und bodenständig also dargestellt werden. And of course, we sort of laughing about the fact that, you know, sort of saying, you know, all this emotion and all this therapy and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is a serious matter, isn't it? Songwriting, and both of you are the songwriters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, is it almost like a blessing in disguise to be in some sort of emotional stress or whatever to give you the inspiration to write songs? I mean, do you think, you know, if you settle down and get married and have a dog and kids and stuff like that, you might lose the edge, you know?
No.
Or even without the dog, you know, I mean, the kids, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not, I don't think that it's a good thing to have, you know, emotional problems or anything like that, but it is nice to be able to take maybe sort of upsetting ideas or upsetting elements of my history and turn them into something that is, like, actually quite beautiful and I am quite proud of. So, I mean, I suppose it is nice to be able to express all of that stuff. But, I wouldn't, you know, wish being an angsty person on anyone in particular. And I don't think I'm ever going to stop being super emotional. So, yeah.
Ja, sie meint, dass sie natürlich tatsächlich im Grunde genommen die Inspiration für die Songs braucht. Und dazu gehört eben, dass, wenn es einem nicht so gut geht, wenn man seelisch ein bisschen angeschlagen ist, dass das durchaus einen positiven Effekt haben kann, was das Songwriting betrifft. Und sie meint auch, dass letztendlich braucht sie das für ihre Inspiration. Sie würde sich das nie wünschen, dass irgendwelche Leute seelische Probleme haben. Und ich meine, das ist auch nicht angenehm natürlich, wenn es einem nicht gut geht. Aber letztendlich meint sie, dass sie auch so eine angespannte Person ist und sehr emotional. Also sie glaubt nicht, dass es ihr irgendwann eine Inspiration fehlt dann, also was das Songwriting betrifft. So, in other words, in that sense, you're an old-fashioned indie band in the sense that you do like to stress the importance of being authentic. I mean, that is just by you, just state of fact for you.
In terms of authenticity, meaning, you know, sort of saying what you mean, definitely, yeah. not in the sort of air quotes authenticity of, you know, everything has to be, you know, some guys in a room with guitars. But yeah, we do mean everything that we put into our music. So yeah, I suppose we are in that respect, definitely, yeah.
Also Joe meinte, Sie im altmodischen Sinne tatsächlich so eine klassische Indie-Band sind, in der Hinsicht, dass Sie Wert auf Authentizität legen, also was die Gefühle betrifft, also dass man einfach ehrlich sein muss mit seinen Aussagen. Aber Sie sind nicht der Meinung, also Sie gehören nicht zu dieser Clique von Leuten, die sagen, dass man in seiner Herangehensweise oder Arbeitsweise, also auf ganz pedantische Art und Weise, so Indie sein muss. Das ist für Sie so zwei Paar Schuhe. Es muss nicht zwingend immer Gitarren sein. Es ist für Sie alles ganz offen. It's inevitably going to, I mean, rock music has been well explored by now, you know, like 50 years down the line. So people are obviously always going to think about the past when they talk about bands from the present. And in contact with you, I've read things like people talk about C86, where you probably weren't even born when C86 was around, you know what I mean? do you actually feel that it's like a dubious honour to be compared to bands like that? Are you pleased that you maybe get compared to great bands from the past? Would you prefer not to be, or do you just take it on board?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be an idiot to be offended by someone saying, comparing you to a band that you like.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's just like, I don't understand people who will complain about having their influences named or being compared to a band that they clearly really sort of are influenced by.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just sort of a natural progression. And I mean, it's not like we're trying to do anything radically different for the sake of being different. We're just trying to write some songs that we like and that other people like,
mm-hmm.
As a vehicle for like things that Joe wants to say, really. And there isn't kind of any thought into it of we've got to do this because this is a prevailing scene or we're going to go against this scene. It's just like, this is how we write music. This is what the music is. It probably sounds like a bunch of stuff we listen to because that's what music is. That's how it works.
In fact, yeah, it means a lot to me when people compare us to bands that I really care about because I want to be one of those bands, you know, that, you know, sort of saved me when I was younger and stuff like that. I'd like to be as important to people as bands have been to me. So it's great.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you actually both have a particular band that saved you when you were younger, or is it, wouldn't you want to narrow it down? You don't have to. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
I mean, probably the Manics and then / the Smiths, combination of those two.
I would say the Smiths as well, predictably.
Right.
Perhaps.
Okay. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Ja, Sie sind öfter mit Bands aus der Vergangenheit verglichen worden, was natürlich unvermeidlich ist in der heutigen Zeit, weil die Rockgeschichte ist schon ziemlich lang und es gibt immer Möglichkeiten, Bands von heute mit Bands von früher zu vergleichen. Und Sie haben gar kein Problem damit, im Gegenteil, Sie fühlen sich geschmeichelt, wenn Sie verglichen werden mit Bands, die Sie selber geliebt haben als junge Menschen. Und Sie haben überhaupt kein Problem damit und Sie meinen, es wäre völlig absurd, deshalb irgendwie gekränkt zu sein in seiner Eitelkeit, also wenn man mit einer tollen Band verglichen wird. Und Sie sagen, dass es ist nicht Ihre Absicht, besonders innovativ zu sein. Die haben auch keine bewusste Haltung, also wie es dann sein sollte in der Hinsicht. Sie wollen einfach nur schöne Musik machen, schöne Songs schreiben, mit denen Sie dann zufrieden sind. Und inwiefern, also wie es qualitativ eingestuft wird und ob es verglichen wird mit Musik aus der Vergangenheit, das ist ihnen dann ziemlich egal. Und ich habe die Band ein bisschen in die Enge getrieben und gefragt, was sind ihre Lieblingsbands? Und das habt ihr gerade gehört. Also Rob meinte Manic Street Preachers und The Smiths. Und Joe hat gesagt The Smiths, sie meinte, also ein bisschen berechenbar. Aber es entspricht einfach der Wahrheit und ja, damit dann können sie gut leben. Sonst bei der Gelegenheit hören wir jetzt ein Stück von The Smiths von dem Album Hatful of Hollow. His House Soon Is Now. House Soon Is Now von The Smiths, 1984. So we're going to move on to the EP now, which is, it's been out for a few weeks now, isn't it? The Good Luck EP. And, yeah, was there a shift of emphasis in the way you went about making it? Do you think there was...
I'm not so sure there was a shift in making it. There was just a little bit of a shift for me in, I guess, writing the music and in sort of the intention of how to record it. Again, it was sort of the basis of it was fairly live, but it was sort of trying to get something a bit rawer, trying to push sort of slightly different aspects of it. So, I mean, you've got obviously Good Luck, the song, which is probably the softest thing we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got something like Leave Home, which is one of the heaviest things you've ever done. So I think it's kind of us just sort of going, putting a marker down for ourselves, really, and going, these sort of the different things we're trying out, and just trying out sort of slightly more complicated forms of the songs. And I mean, I think the debut for me was quite rigidly straitjacketed into a sort of pop song idiom, mm-hmm. whereas I think the EP was sort of an attempt to start to think about how you break out of some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Ja, wir hören jetzt ein Stück von der EP, von der Good Luck EP. Und Rob meint, dass der Hauptunterschied ist eben, dass sie das Gefühl hatten, dann sie ein bisschen offener werden konnten. Sie konnten also eine gewisse Bandbreite anstreben, die sie vorher nicht hatten. Es ist ein bisschen komplizierter geworden. Also im Vergleich ist das Debütalbum schon relativ schlicht und einfach. Und es ist kein radikaler Unterschied, aber sie waren einfach bemüht, einfach zu gucken, ja, wie könnten sie rausbrechen aus diesem Rezept, das sie so ziemlich perfekt hinbekommen hatten auf dem Debütalbum, und wie konnten sie es variieren und wie können sie sich einfach weiterentwickeln. Und das erste Stück auf der EP, Good Luck, ist im Prinzip das ruhigste Stück, das sie jemals gemacht haben. Das zweite Stück, Leave Home, ist genau das Gegenteil. Es ist besonders rigoros und besonders aggressiv. Und ja, das war natürlich beabsichtigt. Sie wollten einfach diese Bandbreite erweitern. So, which one do you go for? Which would you like to hear?
Leave Home, I guess.
Yeah.
The heaviest one.
Yeah.
Right, okay. We're going to go for the heaviest one. Also Leave Home jetzt von der Good Luck EP von Desperate Journalist. Leave Home von Desperate Journalist von der EP Good Luck, die vor kurzem erschienen ist. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Joe und Rob von der Band. It's often the case with so-called post-punk bands that they have like a great sound and a great attitude, but mm-hmm. they're not that melodic. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking for the highlights.
Yeah.
And in my job, I'm always looking for highlights, you know, and they're a bit short on the ground sometimes. You're a bit short. And in your case, I think there's loads of really nice melodies, which I think is obviously a bonus. But is that something you've noticed, the lack of that? I mean, when you actually write music, do you actually compare yourself in that sense to contemporaries thinking, well, they're actually quite good, but they are a bit lacking, and we want to be less lacking in that department? Do you think in those kind of terms?
Yeah, yes. Definitely. Absolutely. I've loved lots and lots of music from the post-punk era ever since I was quite young. My dad played me a lot of sort of interesting records, so I've got a really nerdy amount of knowledge about it. But I'm always attracted to really melodic music. I always like pop songs. I think it's important, definitely very important to me, to have a strong melodic thing going on, as well as being, you know, kind of exciting, having the energy and inventiveness of post-punk. But yeah, when it's poppy is when it's most successful, I think, definitely.
Yeah, and I think there are quite a few bands around, and have been, I think it feels like, for the last sort of 10 years, where the sound is great but there aren't really any songs. And I think we sort of, as I alluded to earlier, I guess, we sort of start with songs.
Yeah.
And sort of the sort of post-punk sort of thing is more a sort of delivery vehicle for the songs, as opposed to the other way around. It's not like trying to create something that sounds cool and hope that there's some sort of good melody in there somewhere. It's kind of, this is a song, and this is just how we play it.
Yeah, it's not a musical T-shirt.
No, I understand that, yeah. Now, what I think is quite an achievement with the album, I think, is that although there are such distinctive songs on it, they do seem to lead into one another. You know, mm-hmm. where you'd expect to be more of a blur, or, you know, to me, but it's not, because there are distinctive songs, but they still lead into each other in a cohesive way, which I think is probably quite difficult to achieve, I would imagine. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you can almost play them without any gaps between them, just as mm-hmm. and it would be cohesive as an album, as a listening experience, as one big song.
Yeah.
But there are distinctive songs amongst them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think we definitely want things to be structured and, you know, traditional fashion like that, so it is enjoyable and sort of exciting to listen to from start to finish. Definitely that's a concern for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I guess the nature of the arrangements in many ways, I mean, as I said earlier, like every song is basically bass, drums, guitar and vocals, and it's kind of, we're all using the same equipment for everything. There isn't lots of anything really flashy going on around, and so I suppose for it to be able to be different to each other, it had to have some sort of like song strength, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, because mm-hmm. otherwise it just would blur into some horrible 12-string mess.
Ja, sie sagen, dass sie Musik, Post-Punk-Musik immer sehr geliebt haben, Und Joe hat auch gesagt, dass als Jugendliche, als Kind hat sie sehr viel Musik aus dieser Post-Punk-Ära von früher gehört. Also ihr Vater hat eine ganz tolle Plattensammlung gehabt und sie deshalb weiß sie sehr viel. Sie hat sehr viele Kenntnisse, was Post-Punk-Musik betrifft. Aber was die heutigen Bands betrifft, sind sie beide der Meinung, dass es oft Bands gibt. In den letzten 10 Jahren ist es oft der Fall gewesen, dass es oft Bands gegeben hat, die eine tolle Attitüde haben, die einen wunderbaren Sound haben, aber letztendlich haben sie keine vernünftigen Songs oder zu wenig vernünftigen Songs. Und sie sind einfach der Meinung, dass es nicht ausreicht, einfach nur so ein tolles Feeling zu vermitteln, eine tolle Attitüde zu haben. Man braucht wirklich vernünftiges Songwriting-Niveau und sie glauben, das auch zu haben. Und Joe meinte auch, die sind nicht nur ein musikalisches T-Shirt. Sie meinte, dass sie dann tatsächlich irgendwas letztendlich Greifbares haben wollen, bieten wollen. Also wirklich vernünftige Songs, mit denen die Leute sich identifizieren können. Und dennoch meinte ich, also klingt das Album so einheitlich. Also die Songs gehen ineinander fast über, obwohl die Songs so markant sind und so einprägsam sind. Und Rob meinte, die haben natürlich diese grundsätzliche Instrumentierung von Bass, Schlagzeug, Gitarre und Gesang. Und deshalb irgendwie variiert nicht so viel. Und deshalb ist ein einheitliches Feeling einfacher hinzubekommen. Do my homework on you. I read somewhere that you actually spent some of your childhood in America.
Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, how did that... It's probably difficult to say how did that affect you, because you don't know what it would have been like if you spent all your time in England. But did it feel different to like people who grew up in England? I mean, comparing to, you know, if you compared childhood experiences, did that affect you deeply, do you think?
Definitely. Culturally, it's kind of strange. I have not a very good memory, but my memory of sort of the 90s is half extremely American, kind of like all very kind of golden and Hanson and Mbop and like grunge and MTV, and then also the extreme of coming back to visit my family in the UK, and it was like the Spice Girls and Robbie Williams. So it's just like these two extremely like sort of almost pastiches of the culture of the time, because I was sort of oscillating between the two. And also I think, I mean, it has definitely informed some of the way that I write, well, some of the things that I write about, in that there's a lot of sense of space and, traveling is a big thing that clearly comes across. And sort of feeling of being between two sort of worlds is definitely something that I like writing about.
And do you actually still feel connected to America in that respect, or...?
Not really. Okay. I don't really feel connected to any place in particular because I moved around so much. I'm very much a kind of person who's on their own. Like, yeah, I would say, definitely.
But it gave you the advantage of actually having experienced more.
Yes.
Yeah. Than other people did at that age. So it kind of gives you more creative opportunities in that sense. You got so much going on in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you just stayed in the same village or something in all your childhood in Dorset or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've got a lot of stuff in my head, a lot more stuff than I otherwise would do, which is which is really useful. I think it's made me have a bit more perspective on things than maybe otherwise I would have done. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Also Joe hat die Hälfte ihrer Kindheit in Amerika verbracht. Whereabouts were you in America?
I was in Washington D.C.
Right. Okay. So you were in Washington D.C. Und das hat sie natürlich auch geprägt, weil sie im Prinzip so Hälfte-Hälfte war von der Kultur her, also was ihre Einflüsse betrifft. Sie hat also viel 90er-Jahre-Kultur in Amerika mitbekommen. Also Grunge, sie ist wirklich so mit Grunge sehr konfrontiert worden und mit MTV, diese ganze amerikanische Kultur der Zeit. Dann als sie dann nach England zurückgekehrt ist zu Besuch, dann irgendwie hat sie das Gefühl gehabt, dass die Spice Girls und Robbie Williams die britische Kultur dominiert haben. Und es war so ein merkwürdiger Zwiespalt, also die Einflüsse, die sie dann erlebt hat im Prinzip, als sie immer hin und her gependelt ist zwischen Amerika und England in ihrer Jugend. Und sie meinte, das hat den Vorteil gehabt, dass sie dadurch eigentlich mehr erlebt hat als Kind, als viele andere Kinder, und dass sie deshalb sehr viel kreative Gedanken pflegen konnte. Und sie meinte, dass das immer noch eine Nachwirkung hat, also was ihre Musik jetzt betrifft, wenn sie Songs schreibt. Und sie glaubt, dass die Songs, die sie schreibt, auch irgendwie so ein Gefühl von Reisen vermittelt. Sie hat da viel erlebt, so was Reisen betrifft. Und das ist eine sehr luftige, dass sehr viel Raum in der Musik auch entsteht. Und sie glaubt, dass das tatsächlich irgendwas mit ihrer Kindheit dann noch zu tun hat. Right, well, we're running out of time. It was good to talk to you anyway.
Yeah. And, thank you, yeah.
And what would you like to hear to finish off? Maybe something from the EP again. We've only heard one track from the EP, haven't we?
Yes. Shall we have the title track, Good Luck?
Yes.
Cool.
All right, OK. Well, all the best anyway, and I hope it carries on in such a positive way for you. That,
thanks very much, yeah.
And, yeah, hope to see you again very soon.
Thanks, cool. Likewise.
Thank you. Cheers.
Ja, wir hören jetzt zum Schluss das erste Stück von der EP Good Luck, das Titelstück von Desperate Journalist von der EP Good Luck, und Joe und Rob von der Band waren bei mir im Studio, und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info Nachrichten.